Our guest is Barbie Johnson here today. Barbie, we know that you are from BJ Publishing. Can you tell everyone a little bit more about yourself?
Well, I'm an author and a publisher. I do ghostwriting as well. I've have 10 published books that are out and 6 more that are on the way. There's 2 children's books, and the other are just, you know, life stories.
Wow. Mm-hmm. Now, before we get into the books, I want to ask you, how did you get your name Barbie? Was it passed down? How did you become Barbie?
That was ask my mother.
So it's passed down from your mother.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
I love that.
Thank
so
you.
So you were named after your mother?
No, I was not.
Oh, okay. She just said, I had me a little Barbie, huh? She never told you the story behind it, huh?
No, she did not. I never thought to ask. But I did think about the Barbie doll. I did. Mm-hmm.
How was that, like, going to school and your name is Barbie? Like, how was that fun? Were you the popular talk of the town in school?
Oh, well, where is Ken, Barbie?
Oh,
that was.
Oh, really? Oh.
Absolutely.
Well, I want to ask you, how did you get started in writing and publishing?
Oh, my God. You know, I can't even say how I got started in writing, but I do remember writing plays for the church and doing little skits for the children in the church and the teens. So that's what I remember about first writing. But when I got started with books, I have to say one of my older sisters, Helena, name dropping, she said, girl, you need to be writing this stuff down, even journal it. So she said, it sounds like it'll be a good book or a movie anyway. So I started journaling, and then I stopped because I said, what's the use of this? Nobody's going to see this. Because at the time I had not written a book. I wasn't thinking about writing a book at the time. I wasn't trying to write a book at the time and didn't want to write a book at the time. But then one of my friend girls asked me to go to church with her, and I did. I don't know anything about the church. I didn't know anything about the church or who was going to be there. Anyway, so the prophet called me out of all people. He said, you right there. And he described what I had on. He said, come here. So I walked up there. He said, did you finish writing that book? I said, no. And he said, why not? I said, well, it was just me. I just didn't feel like anybody would be interested. He said, no. The devil stopped you from writing that book because he don't want you to have a voice. God said, write that book and tell your addiction. When he said that, I knew what he meant when he said, tell my addiction. My addiction was not drugs or alcohol. So as I always tell people, you have to get the book to know what it was. But I needed some deliverance, and God had to give it to me while I was writing that book, because I got delivered from some things. And then a week later, another friend girl of mine asked me to go to church with her. And this time it was a female prophet that said, God said, finish that book this year. I said, oh my God. So I had to start writing, you know, morning, noon, and night to get it done. And at the time I was teaching. But I finished that book that year, just like you said. And that was about 2014. And after that first book was in my hands, actually in my hands, I felt like a writer, because all the other time I did not feel like a writer. I didn't, until it was actually in my hand. then I felt like a writer and an author. And then from then, I mean, it just kicked forward and I liked writing. I just started, like I said, I have several other books that are out and I enjoyed writing. I really did. Some things God would just download to me to write. And like I said, I believe I sent you a list of some of them, what they were.
That's a powerful story. And I feel like, you know, God just put a pen in your hand and said, right. I mean, a lot of people have a calling on their life, but to have two prophets just come on and say, you know, you have to do this. Yes. In urgency, that must have been, your story must be something that God wants people to see and to read and to share and to be blessed by. So exactly. That's amazing testimony to start out your writing career. I on your website, looking at some of the books you have available,
mm-hmm.
and but before we do that, I just want to say for those people that are interested in writing, and they might want to turn a new leaf and just do something new, what type of advice would you give them?
I would tell them, look, follow your dreams. You are never too old or too young to accomplish it. Follow your dreams. Even if you feel like you are not a writer or you feel like, you can't accomplish it. Yes, you can. Everything is possible and anything is possible, but don't give up on that dream. If you feel like writing, write it. If not, get someone else to write, a ghostwriter or someone else, family member to help you do it. I mean, it can be done. It can be done, especially if God has been unctioning you to, you know, put pen to paper, do it. Do it. Because I'm telling you, you will minister to a lot of people. You never know, just like what you were saying with my story. Yes, he told me there were going to be, and he specifically said, a lot of young people that were going to identify with what I was going through. And then they would understand some things about what they were going through. And I did get that feedback back from some people. They were saying, I saw myself in your book. I said, okay, all right.
Amen.
Mm-hmm.
I want to ask, how did you get, before we get into the books again, because now you opened up another door I wanted to ask about, the ghostwriting. Like, how did you, like you said, for some people, maybe they do need a ghostwriter, maybe they're not maybe knowledgeable or skilled enough in the area of writing. Mm-hmm. Would you suggest someone like that get a ghostwriter? And how did you get started in that?
To become a ghostwriter? I mean, ghostwriting, you're just writing someone else's story. You don't put you in there. You just put their, whatever they are, if they like have a manuscript or something, or give you an idea of what they want their book to be about, then you just write it. That's as best as I can explain it.
Well, how did you get started in that arena of, so, okay, I'm going to take someone else's story and help them, you know, fulfill that dream of getting their story or their book out? Because, again, a lot of people may not feel that they have the ability to write in that manner to have a book come out, but they still have a compelling story. So, how did you get the idea to say, you know, I can do this, I can be a ghostwriter?
Well, the only thing that I can say, it was the Lord. Because the first person he had me to write with or for, actually, we co-authored a book together, is how I got started in the ghostwriting. So I co-authored a book together because God wanted her to get a book out there to let her know. And plus, she has more books in her. And that's what he said. And I let her know that. Anyway, and from there, other people began to ask me to write for them. So they did, like you were saying, they didn't have the skill to do it or the knowledge of how to put it together. So I just wrote for them. I would listen to them. I'd, you know, like interview them as to what they want in their book or what their story is about that they want to tell. And so when I sit down and start writing, and most of the time I would record them what they're saying. And then I would add an extension onto, you know, to fill out their story. Because once I get to writing, you know, God will just give me some things to just say, because he'll have it to fall in order. And I said, don't worry about what should come first, or if your life was in chronological order. Sometimes things don't read well in chronological order and you need to shift it around. I just listen to what God tell me to do and get the story done. But so people have been happy with what I've written for them. And like I said, my name does not appear there, but my company may appear inside the book when it says published by, it'll say BJ Publishing, but that's it. But it's your story. You're the author. That's it.
Mm-hmm. Wow. So you have everything going on all in one, from writing your own story to ghostwriting and even to publishing. How did you get into the publishing part of this?
Because I had to have my book. I had to have, but with that part, I just have to use someone else's platform because I don't have the equipment yet, but I'm working on it. So, because I want to open my own print shop. It's a one-stop shop for everything. So, like I said, that'll be here. But I use someone else's platform to turn it into a book.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so you just bring them all the materials and then they'll put the book together for you under your company.
No. Just like with Amazon, you can, how do they do it? Kindle now, you can write your story on Kindle and then they can print it on demand, if you understand what I'm saying. They can print it out, turn it into the book. Mm-hmm.
Okay, that's great. So you can do it through Amazon or other similar outlets. Excuse me, other mm-hmm. similar outlets. Great.
Absolutely, yes. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. But of course, you know you have to pay them.
Of course. Mm-hmm. All right, now that we got that great business out of the way, let's get into some of these book titles here. As I'm on your website, you guys can mm-hmm. go to her website at bjpublishing.com. That's BEEJAY publishing.com. So I'm on your page. The first book, like if you want to just give me a brief synopsis, you know, like you don't have to get too in depth. Of course, you want people to get the book so they'll know more details. But the first book I see here is called Born to Die. Can you tell us a little bit about the origin of that book?
That is the one I co-authored with Pastor Sharon. That was the one the Lord wanted her to get her feet wet, to know that you can produce a book. So we were on the phone talking one day, and she just she said we were talking about Jesus or something like that, and she said, "Oh, he was born to die," and I said, "Oh, that's a book." That's a book. So we collaborated. But in this book, it's talking about a physical death and a spiritual death. And so, and that some people, they will put themselves in the line of fire for your life. And like police officers, firemen, these are people that are not afraid to run into danger. Come on, who wants to run into flames? I don't. I'm going the other way. So you'll have the wrong one if you say, "Oh well, can you go and get?" No, I'm not that person. You got to say,
"Yeah, right."
I'm not. Uh-uh. But
you the person that'll call for help.
I sure will and say they went yeah. and said, "No, don't tell me to go." Uh-uh. That's not my line. That's not me. I have courage, but not courage enough to go into the fire. Right.
Oh yeah, my God. That's a whole nother calling that God gives people right there. Yes, and, you know, I'll call for help and I'll pray during the situation, but that's all I can
Absolutely.
do.
Absolutely.
God has some ordained people that can do
yes,
that.
Yes, he does. Uh-huh. All right, five times awesome. Police officers.
Amen.
Oh my God.
So we have the next one is dating tips for single Christian women. I'm interested in that, especially because our podcast is about faith, love, and trans, and we're always talking about relationships. So tell us a little bit about that book.
All right, dating tips for single Christian women. Actually, I had a lot of young women that were coming to me asking me about what should they do when they're dating, because they didn't want to lose their virginity and anything like that. But some of them, you know, had already. So I'm just saying. So I said, okay, I'll research it and write something. So even with this book, I asked the Lord to give me some things. And before my husband had passed away, I got a lot of information from him as to what a man wants when they're dating a woman or what they're looking for. But for the young ladies, yes, don't, we tend to overthink things sometimes. Like, okay, well, if he's on his phone, then all doing all this, that, then he's not interested in me. He's interested in someone else. But when a man turns off his phone for you, because he's telling you, I don't want to be interrupted by anything else in this date. Don't say, oh, well, you don't want me to know who's calling. Come on. Don't make trouble where there is no trouble. And if a man's opened the door for you, please let him. Don't say, no, I can do it myself. We know you're independent, but let him open the door. Let him open the door. Let him be the man. Let him be the gentleman. I want a gentleman. Please open the door for me. If I'm getting in or out of the car, please open the door for me. I'm just saying, you don't see a lot of that. They just, man, get out of the car and walk on the way. No. But let's get back to the real dating tips. Now, there are some red flags you need to be looking out for, because number one, if he tells you, hey, you got this, you need to say, excuse me, I need to go powder my nose and keep on out the door. Run for the hills. I'm telling you. That's just it.
So, okay, for this is, book is for all ages of single Christian women?
Yes. And the men have asked me to write one for them. It's coming. I didn't forget you guys. It's coming. So, and I believe I'm going to revise this one as well, because they were saying we need more. It's not enough. So I'm going to redo that and include one for the guys as well. But yes, there are some things we need to look out for. Don't ignore your intuition when your gut is telling you something is not right. Something is not right. So don't continue to say to try and force it. No. If you do not feel comfortable, let him know. If he can respect your boundaries, let him know that too. No.
And all if right. Go ahead.
If he takes your hand to help you into the car, let him. He's showing you something about him. That's his genuineness. And if he puts his hand on the small of your back, come on, ladies, these are some things you need to be looking for. That lets you know a man is really interested in you. You don't see too many people helping a woman out of a car or into a car, or even putting their hands on their back while they're getting into to support you, not to feel on you. Hello? Because we have some women that go overboard. Don't touch me. Right. Come on. We're forgetting what, just like the word said, the older need to teach the younger. But in these days, sometimes the younger, they just go out and do their own thing. I'm just saying. I like the old way. Please.
All right. So, yeah, I think we do need to get back to some of that. So that's good that this book is sharing some of those lessons. And From Trial to Afflictions, is that your book about your life?
Woo! Yes, it is. It will curl your hair and straighten it out at the same time. Woo! I'm telling you, I was a messed up chicken. And I thought I was okay until God showed me. and I could not deny it. And I'm going to tell you this part. Woo! When he showed me, I landed in jail for 3 days and 3 nights in the belly of the beast. And I said, Lord, you get me out of here. I'll never come back again. I ain't never been back. That was enough for me. And let me tell you, I need people to understand this. Oh, God. The enemy is always trying to get you out of character. And I wasn't totally delivered at that time. I was not. I was a brawler. I was a woman. You say something to me, I would be the one to crack your head to the white meat and dare you to bleed. That was me. I'm so glad God changed me because I had a temper. Yes, I did. And once that temple landed me in jail, me in jail. And I knew I needed change, but he made some changes in this body, in this flesh. But yes, they need to read the book. I mean,
The next one is In the Church But Hurting. Can you tell us a little bit about that one?
Now, that book, I thought I was writing a fiction. Mm-hmm. But I read something by my sister. I said, what do you think about this? And I read that little passage for her. And then she said, oh my God, that's Sister So-and-So life. I said, what? She said, that's Sister So-and-So life. She is going through that. That is what is happening to her. I said, oh my God. Oh my, I didn't know why. And it wasn't until then that, you know, like the light came on for me. Why, like this was being poured into me. Because like I said, I thought I was writing a fiction. I was just writing as it was coming to me. And so I ran that by her and she said, that's Sister So-and-So's life. But the thing is, God was revealing that there are people hurting inside of the church that are not being ministered to. They're coming home, they're going to church one way and coming right back the same way because they have to go back through that drama all over again and not being helped or delivered and nobody... And nobody is ministering to them about their hurt and pain until one day in this situation, the pastor or prophet, whoever it was, called the lady to the front and spoke out what she was going through. Yes, he did. Because she was being abused at home, but she would come to church smiling, you know, wearing the glasses, the dark glasses to hide the bruises. I'm just saying. And people are going through that. Even men, women beating men. Come on. No. Because that's not love. If come on. Do you beat up yourself? Do you love you like that to beat up you? Then why are you putting your hand on a woman? Why are you putting your hand on the man? Why?
Yes.
Gosh, that means you need deliverance. That's a signal. You need deliverance. But the end of that story is her husband got saved. And this is a real story. Her husband got saved and they're in ministry together.
Wow, that's amazing.
Yes, it
Let's talk about Quiet Before the Storm, the aftermath of COVID-19.
Now, when COVID broke out, I can't remember was it during COVID? Oh, God, I'm getting that one mixed up now. Or just before.
Is this a book that you... did you collaborate with somebody on this? Or
No.
Okay.
No, I did not. I was trying to think of it.
Is it concerning your personal experience with COVID or what way is it coming from?
Actually, it was some things that was God was saying before it happened, what was going to happen. Mm-hmm.
Wow, that's something else.
He was saying what was going to happen before it happened.
So it's like more of a prophetic.
Yes.
Prophetic story.
Yes. That's wow. what that was. Mm-hmm. Let's see. Yep. About the looting, the rioting, the burning, the, all that.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
And that's just something, COVID is something that even we still have to live with today. So, you know, it's definitely still a relevant story to tell. And mm-hmm. the whole thing about COVID is just a cautionary tale for us as society and community and countries and all of that. So I'm sure that that's a powerful read right there. Lastly, mm-hmm. we want to talk about spiritual guidance. Can you tell us a little bit about that one?
Oh, spiritual guidance is it's a poetry book that was written by one of my younger sisters, but she passed away from cancer. And so I had told my older sister, I wanted to get it published in memory of her, because my majority of those poems were penned by her hand before she passed away. And so that's what that book is about. Actually, it's a series of three of them.
Wow, I'm sorry to hear about your loss. Myself, I'm a cancer survivor.
Oh,
and
wow.
I'm sorry to hear the loss of your sister, as well as you being a widow, the loss of your husband. Do you mm-hmm. have any books in the works or books that you have available that talk about dealing with loss?
Oh, I had to put it down, but yes, it's entitled When the Hurting Stops, When the Hurting Stops, or Getting Past the Hurt. Mm-hmm. So because you don't want to get stuck in the grieving process. Some people get stuck and they can't come out. Because they even die themselves. It's just sad to say that. Some people just leave. They leave here. But Getting Past the Hurt. I haven't finished it because I had to get past my hurt. But yes, I do have that book coming out.
Okay. Wow. Yes, because, you know, I imagine it's a lifelong process, especially when you lose someone that's really close to you. It's something that you're just going to have to, something that you have to face, you know, lifelong, day to day. And you said you had some children's books. Can you tell us a little bit about the children's books?
This one, it's entitled Talk It Out. Actually, that's a true story as well. It was with my stepson. The incident happened between him and his best friends, I guess they were at the time, and on a football team, he was chosen to be the quarterback, and his friend wasn't. So he became jealous after that, and bullying him and whatnot. So one day his friends came to the house wanting to see him. And I'm looking like, who are you? So the little girl said, "Well, your son hit my cousin." I said, "Excuse me?" I said, "Let me tell you something. Your friends put you up to come over here and say this." I said, "You don't know if I'm a psycho or what." I said, "You need to go home with your friends laying over there laughing their heads off at you for coming over here doing this dumb stuff." I said, "Go home. Go home." So I told my husband, we had to go to the school to get that mess rectified, because children try and take matters into their own hands and don't know what they're doing. And then the parents don't know where they are when they're doing this crazy stuff. Like I said, I could have been a psycho. I could have just easily said, "Come on in," you know, like the fox to the hen. Mm-hmm. "Come on into my den, because I'm going to eat you for dinner." I'm just saying, come on. This is crazy. But the lesson was talk the situation out instead of letting it fester and boil. So when those two sat down and talked, you know, they fix their problem. They fix their problem. And then they started this thing, which was a good thing for them, with other young students to become little entrepreneurs in the neighborhood. They started this candy business, whatever. I can't even think of the name of it right now, but they started the candy business in the neighborhood. And a lot of children began to get on the bandwagon. That's all you could hear. Hey, talk it out. You got to talk it out. So if you want to work it out, you got to talk it out. And then how did it happen? They had other kids joining in to do the candy drive with them. I mean, the candy company, sorry. But that's what that was about, talk it out. But there was something good that came from that.
Oh, that's great. So it talks a lot about problem solving, probably for the kids, and the parents need to look at it too, right?
Yes. And it's more about bullying. Bullying. Mm-hmm. Exactly.
Well, thank you for sharing with us about your different array of books. I know you have more coming out, you have more available, and it's so much we can't talk about it all now, but if people want to connect with you and ask you about your books or whatnot, ask you about your ghostwriting, mm-hmm. could you give us your information? How can people connect with you, like on social media, email, website?
I'm on Facebook. They can email me at the company website, bjpublishing.com. Leave me a message there. Or they can email me at johnsonbarb75@yahoo.com. Do I need to repeat that?
Sure. Why not repeat those for us?
Okay, the company website is bjpublishing.com. That's B-E-E-J-A-Y .com. You can leave me a message there or email me at Johnsonbarb, B-A-R-B, 75@yahoo.com. Don't forget the 75 or it's going to someone else and not me. So, and I'm on Facebook.
Great. Well, it's been a pleasure speaking with you, Barbie, and we wish you all the best as you continue to do the work of the Lord, entertain, inspire, and bless the people with what you have to give when it comes to the world of books and writing and being an author as well as publishing. God bless you into your next venture. And again, we are so glad to have you on. Thank you guys for listening.
All right, bye-bye. Thank you.